Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. You're listening to the 50,000 watt AM 670 KLTT in Montreal a week ago today at Dawson College. A murderer, and they say it's a college. This is basically what we would call here in America a senior high school. A murderer killed one woman and wounded 20 others before committing suicide. Now, he had been dressed in a black trench coat like the Columbine murderers, and he liked the internet game, the Columbine video game on the internet, which, of course, is horrendous that there is even such a thing. In Pittsburgh this weekend, an 18-year-old shot five basketball players after a weekend dance. Three remain hospitalized. I heard in some of the media reports that he shot them in the back, for the most part. In Green Bay, Wisconsin last week, police foiled a Columbine-style plan to bomb and shoot students at a high school. Now three have been arrested. Now I take you to today's Rocky Mountain News, page 4, about Danny Ledon, who is the one who created the Columbine video game on the internet. And in the Montreal shooting with one woman murdered, 20 injured, he is basically defending his creation of this game. And in this article, they quote from Columbine dad Brian Rohrbaugh, who says, by glorifying the murderers through a video game, it looks like that maybe has in some way impacted someone else to do this kind of crime. And the evidence for that is right in Montreal, with one young woman dead, 20 others injured. And then Danny Ledon, the creator of the video game, says he created that game as a way of dealing with the Columbine shootings. I wanted to ask Brian Rohrbaugh, Brian, what do you think of Danny Ledon's statement? He created the game as a way of dealing with the shootings.
Well, I think he's a liar. I don't think there's any question about it. He glorified the actions of Klebold and Harris. I have no doubt that he worships what they did and wishes he could be like them. And in all of these things he's done, he's tried to devalue the innocent people who were murdered or who were injured as being non-important. Mm. And he's trying to raise the concept that somehow there's value in Klebold and Harris or the other murderers like them. And he is guilty to some degree of this woman's death and of the other people who were seriously or even minorly injured.
Yeah, when you trivialize murder, any murder, but especially mass murder at a school with kids, when you trivialize that, when you normalize it, you turn it into a game and people laugh and they are having a good time playing a game where they're killing kids at a high school, that bears responsibility for the destruction of morality in our society. That's part of the destruction of our corporate mindset.
Well, I completely agree. And tragically, there's a whole bunch of school shootings right now. And this is very early in the year, early in the season, if you will, where most school shootings used to happen towards the end of the school year, April, that type of time frame. This year we're seeing something different. Mm. And this may turn out to be the year where Columbine is forgotten about because something much worse happens.
Do you have a sense of about how many school shootings there have been?
Not off the top of my head. You can go to the internet and find that well over 100 people have been killed in school shootings. Now, of course, I'm leaving out what happened in Russia, you know, where terrorists took over a school because that single toll is
330 people, half of them children.
Right.
But
in school shootings where students decide because they've been taught there's no absolutes, they can do anything they want, they've decided that they have the right to go into a school and murder innocent people.
In America, it seems the list I've seen over the last few years, it's in the dozens of school shootings in America.
Right.
Yeah.
And they go back a long time. And I believe the first school shooting in the United States was actually in Alaska. And so you wouldn't think that would be the place it would start, but it was. And throughout all the school shootings, there are a lot of common threads between them. And some of them are because of people like Klebold and Harris and the wicked behavior of the Jefferson County sheriffs, who, because they won't tell the truth and release the information that shows exactly what Klebold and Harris were thinking and you know, why they were doing what they were doing in their own words, because they won't release that, they've set up this mystique around Klebold and Harris that makes people think they were somehow great. Where when you see the evidence and you see their videotapes, you learn that this is nothing to be followed. This isn't anything great. Even people that have not a very high IQ can look at this and see how ridiculous it is and how they accomplish nothing except murdering innocent people.
So Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, they have gone to court on the side of the murderers' families and argued that some of the evidence related to the crime should not be made public, whereas you have gone and asked the courts to release as much as possible.
Right. After World War II, I believe it was Eisenhower who said, "We're going to document the horrors of the concentration camps. We're going to take the pictures. We're going to make the films. We're going to tell the truth, because if we don't, there will be people who denied it ever happened." And as it turns out, he was absolutely right, because there are many people who say the Holocaust never happened. You have to tell the truth about this, and then you have to learn from it. And see, if the schools wanted to, they could stop the school shootings. Now, I'm not a proponent of public schools. I think they're the most wicked place, and no Christian should ever sacrifice their children to be in a public school. You know, it's evil and it's wrong to do that.
Yeah, it's a godless education system. Girls are systematically sexually harassed, and there's no way you could undo, in the short amount of time you get to spend with your kids when they get home from school, there's no way you could even find out everything that happened that undermined truth and morality, and never mind trying to undo it all.
Well, that's exactly right. You can't do it, and your kids can't be salt and light. You know, if you ask the parents, when was the last time you witnessed to someone, you'll find that it's, you know, never, certainly not yesterday, and it wasn't at their workplace, yet they'd like to use the argument that somehow their kids are doing that.
There is no way
that the kids can stand up to the authority figures and the amount of pressure that's put on them to throw away their faith.
And the curriculum.
Absolutely. And when you think about the things that have happened in the country, things like the civil rights movement, there was an orchestrated effort in the schools after the civil rights movement got moving to teach children to accept different races, not to judge on the color of skin and all of that. So they did some good things there. But you notice with school shootings, they don't tell the kids it's wrong to murder someone. There are absolutes. They haven't gone to that kind of teaching. They should have, but that's why you have so many shootings, because their own curriculum, their teaching of evolution as being absolute fact, which it is not, but they teach it that way so kids obviously realize survival of the fittest. If I can do this, it's okay.
The stronger organism could kill the weaker organism. There are no absolutes because there's no creator God. There's no judgment day, but you determine your own reality, relativism, and question authority.
Your own morals, and there are no morals to murdering someone. And all of those things, that's the core of government education. If they would teach that murder is absolutely wrong, and they would teach that no one has the right to do these things,
they teach there are no absolutes. There are no right or wrong answers. There's no right and wrong.
That's what they teach.
Yeah.
And children die all the time because of it. And far more than are murdered are destroyed going through that system, and their lives are utterly ruined because of what the government schools teach.
Yeah, and I'll give two examples. Now, we say this often, that they will have assignments where they'll tell the students there are no right or wrong answers. And two examples I've given, because they're relevant to our Denver Metro audience is one in Aurora, Smoky Hill High School, some years back, and one in Parker, where Smoky Hill High School, it was, I think, the American history teacher, gave out an assignment with about 100 questions, and there were questions about sex and killing people. Would you have sex with a stranger on an airplane for $1,000? In the intro, the instructions to these questions said there are no right or wrong answers.
And you may remember on the roundtable discussion that I was on CNN shortly after my son was murdered at Columbine, I asked the superintendent, Jane Hammond, that very question. Mm. I asked her if they ever hand out a paper that starts out saying there are no absolute right or wrong.
Right.
And she was horrified.
There are no right or wrong answers.
Right. Yeah, there's no right or wrong answers. And then I asked her to give me one significant topic where there is not an absolute right or wrong, and she couldn't do it.
Wow. And that was on CNN. And then in Parker High School, the student newspaper, they did a poll, which is despicable that it was even allowed, but they did a poll asking the students, if you could kill someone and get away with it, would you do it? And a third of the girls responded yes, and just over half of the boys responded yes.
And when you tie that into the fact that many of them think they're getting away with it by committing suicide,
right,
they really think they have beaten everyone. That's what Klebold and Harris thought.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what at Columbine High School, they've had death education. They talk about suicide. And in a non-judgmental way, they don't understand that suicide is wrong. But in fact, liberalism, which our public schools are nothing if not liberal, advocates legalizing suicide.
Right.
And so then criminals consider suicide in their toolbox. And they say, hey, I could commit this crime and get away with it because I'll just kill myself. Whereas when suicide, when there's a intense stigma, then there are fewer murder suicides. But when you promote suicide socially, it's socially acceptable. You have kamikaze pilots, you have jihadist suicide bombers, and you have murder suicides here in America.
Well, that's right. And, you know, when you look at some of the history of the school shootings, I want to point out something else. 8 days after my son was murdered in Canada, a student walked into a school and shot a couple students. He killed one of them, and his last name is Smith. But listen to this. Smith was sentenced to 3 years of prison and 7 years of conditional supervision.
Unbelievable.
Our law enforcement, our laws, our so-called justice system, and I'm broadening that to mean Canada, too, because they're stuck in the same mode we are. They don't punish criminals. They reward criminals.
Yeah, reward, right. You go to jail, and it's sort of like being on a retreat. You don't have any bills to pay. You don't have to see your mother-in-law if you don't want to. You get to play basketball, foosball, softball, volleyball. You get to watch cable TV and movies. You can hang pornography in your cell. So many jails buy pornography at the store in the jail. They feed you three meals a day. And this kid is a murderer, and he only does 3 years of that.
That's right. And that's assuming he's even kept in 3 years.
Yeah.
Because there's not any reason to think that he was. But that was 8 days after my son died. Mm. But when you look at this, right now, this school where this young woman was killed in Dawson, mm-hmm. that school's already open. It reopened today. The other thing the schools are trying to do is pretend that this is not really a big event. Mm. Let's not have a big news story. You know, let's just pretend that it was her time and let's go on back because this is nothing more than maybe an accident,
mm-hmm.
or worse, maybe some of them think it's the will of God.
Mm.
We've certainly seen that with Columbine, where so many people believe that God orchestrated the evil that happened there, and that somehow for his glory, he wanted innocent children murdered.
Yeah, and we see that, of course. You heard the call in our last broadcast in Iowa. We, Bob Inyart Live, we went off the air in Iowa, and we announced that, and one caller, David, called in, and his position, which tragically is shared by millions of Christians, is that every filthy and perverse thing that happens by God's hand, that God has decreed it, He's imagined it. He orchestrated it. He funds it. Every child pornography video, every child molested, raped, and murdered, that this is God orchestrating, making all this happen for God's glory. The child porn industry, millions of Christians think, it exists by God's will for God's glory and pleasure.
Yeah, it's really what I think is a perverted way of thinking. And my question, and I have a lot of questions for David. In fact, I'd like to invite him on the show if it'd be okay with you, and we could have a dialogue.
Yeah, because if you wanted to call in sometime.
Yeah, because
we
there's
could
things.
Arrange it so you're here.
Right. There are some things I want to ask him about. Because Calvinism, to me, I grew up thinking Calvinism was a way. You know, that somehow it was a valid teaching because the church I was in taught that. But at some point in my life, the question came up, if what you believed wasn't true, would you want to know it? Well, my answer is yes, I want to know it if I'm wrong. But, you know, how many times is Calvin mentioned in the Bible?
Zero.
Yeah. And so, Bob,
and the fact that it's named after a guy, you know, Calvinism, right. That's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. Well, your name's not
even
in the Bible.
And Arminianism. Arminius, his name is not in the Bible.
Right. So people are placing this teaching at the level as if it were the words of Christ, and it's not. And it's incredibly flawed, and there's thousands of verses in the Bible that really break down the thought of Calvinism. But when you look at our world and you try to say that innocent children are murdered, then you absolutely must worship Klebold and Harris. Because if this was really God's will, then they would be of the highest value for carrying it out.
Well, they are fulfilling God's will, and just as much as a Calvinist Sunday school teacher.
Exactly right.
Right, and they have no more or no less responsibility for what they did than what the Calvinist Sunday school teacher has.
Right. And his point, trying to act like you're off the air because of this flawed teaching, well, then what? My son was killed because he wasn't a Calvinist?
Yeah, right.
I mean, the logic is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And when you pointed out to him that the apostles were destitute.
Yeah,
he came
Jerusalem,
up with
a lame
idea that they were smart and sold their property because they knew values were going to go down. What, were they going to become slumlords and buy them back once the market fell apart?
Right.
It and flies that was, in the face
of... And that was 40 years later anyway.
Yeah.
They sold their property 40 years before the real estate market was going to collapse, by which time they were mostly all dead by then. Because you have a life expectancy of 50 years. And so Paul's converts, who are Gentiles, are taking collections for the apostles who are living in poverty for decades in Jerusalem.
Right.
Just bizarre.
And somehow we're to believe that it was God's will that they were going to be real estate, moguls. Yeah. It just, but that type of argument, it is so dishonest. You know, go to the Bible, talk about it, think about it. This isn't an issue that Christians should fight about or divide over, maybe, but it's an issue that we should recognize there is a truth and we have the ability to find it. Let's talk through it.
Yeah.
Looking at the Bible, look at the evidence, look at the nature of God that's revealed in the Bible and see if it fits.
Right. The nature of God, his five most fundamental attributes, that he is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. That's the God of the Bible. And then you have people who think everything that happens by God's decree. He orchestrated it. Well, how about confusion? How about temptation to evil? How about filth and perversion? The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion, that he tempts no one with evil, and that he abhors wickedness. So we're going to attribute confusion, tempting to evil and filth, like child pornography, to God, as though God is the director of every child porn video. He thought it through, and he produced it. That is wrong.
Well, and again, his argument was that you're attributing that God must be evil if you don't believe in Calvinism. The reality is it's exactly opposite of that. You know, anyhow, I'd love to talk to him about that. So if you're listening, call in, arrange it. We'll do a show because I have some questions that I think you could answer that would be great for the audience to listen to. Now, speaking of which, there's a telethon going on right now to raise funds to keep this show on the Internet.
That's right.
For the people who go to the Internet, you should go and look at where the money's coming from, because this is telling how far-reaching this ministry is. All over the country, people are spending money to support this ministry, trying to raise $15,000 to stay on the Internet. Doesn't have anything to do with the radio. That'll come later.
Right.
But right now, just to stay on the Internet, because as you and I have talked, there is a large, large audience that accesses this ministry through the Internet all over the country. And we have seen kind of behind the scenes people that have been touched by the stories covered.
Yeah.
And we've begun, and it's powerful.
We've begun printing testimonials of folks who listen to the show in our church bulletin every Sunday. And the neat thing is that every Sunday there are these wonderful testimonies of lives and families touched by the teaching of God's word through the show. Here are some of the states that have donated toward our telethon so far: Alabama, Alaska, Colorado, Indiana, Maryland, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Carolina, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wisconsin, and others. Wow, there are people out there who are saying, we would like Bob and Yurt Live to stay on the Internet another year, and we're up to 57% of our goal. So we really need help. I'll give our phone number. It's 1-800-8-N-YARTS. That's 1-800-836-9278. 836-9278. Or you could go right to our website, KGOV.com, and you could give with a credit card or PayPal right online.
Yeah, and now, on the school shootings, many people think Columbine was the worst school shooting in the world. Well, of course, the one in Russia, which is under a little different circumstance, that's the worst in the world, and we hope nothing like that ever happens again.
Right.
But Columbine, and I get phone calls all the time from people in the media, literally all the time. You know, I'm quoted in the paper today, but even the Today Show and Good Morning America had me on a month ago.
Brian, I set this up a few days ago. I called you. I said, could you come into the studio? We'll talk about the shooting in Montreal, the Columbine game. And then you come in, and today's paper, I opened today's paper, and there on page 4A, there's your story and your thoughts.
Right.
So the role that you have had in all this has been significant, because very few people are saying the truth about these school shootings.
Right. And what I was going to mention is December 6th, 1989. This is a school shooting most people don't know about or don't focus on.
Yeah.
This is in Montreal, Quebec, and a guy went in and he killed 14 women and wounded 13 others.
Oh, my.
And the date, December 6th, 1989.
Wow.
And so school shootings have happened for a long time. The educational system has done everything in their power not to stop the problem. To allow it to go on.
To ignore the problem, almost to downplay it, to make believe it's not happening, to blame guns. When in Colorado, when guns were far more prevalent, we didn't have the kind of violence at schools that we have today with all our gun control.
Well, and you remember Jefferson County Schools, the parent of Columbine High Schools. A couple months before Columbine, they fired the man in charge of security for the schools, because he came with a report to the school board talking about how to prevent a school shooting and how prime their schools were to have a shooting happen.
Mm.
And this is classic of the education system. And I don't want anyone else to die in school shootings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they need to be stopped, but they're not. And it's only a matter of time to where something happens that just pales in comparison to Columbine High School. And I'm pleading to the parents, if you're a Christian and have your kids in school, I don't care if they're 17 and going to graduate in a few months, get them out.
Get them out.
Do it yourself. Take them to Maranatha.
Take them to Christian Center in Arvada. Do homeschool.
Homeschool. You can do much of it online. But do not sacrifice your children to the wicked ways of the world that are taught in the government schools.
In the godless education system. Now, this article today in the Rocky Mountain News, I have, there's a quote here I have highlighted, and they're quoting you. Now, the creator of this Columbine game, Danny Lidon, he's saying it's free speech and he can't consider any kind of ramifications. But
well, neither did Hitler.
Yeah, right. But your response here, you say ideas have consequences, and everything that happens starts as an idea. When you glorify the murder of innocent people, you take the responsibility that what you do may influence someone else as well as cause great harm to others.
That's right. And it starts with ideas, and then it turns to actions, and this guy does a video game. It's directly linked to the shooter who kills people at a school, to a plot at another school. And this guy's trying to pretend somehow what he did has no effect. He has no responsibility. And the truth of the matter is, he's going to give an accounting for what he's done.
And not only with video games, but our media seems to enjoy. You know, the liberals in Hollywood who pretend that they care about respect and respecting women and feminism and all that, they're liars. And they glory in movies, worthless movies that have just violence, just like funny murder of people just for a joke.
Yeah, well, Natural Born Killers, Basketball Diaries. I mean, there's 100 movies out there that glorify
these,
glorify slaughtering innocent people, and the audience cheers.
The audience cheers, and Hollywood liberals, all our liberals for the most part, defend this stuff as free speech. And on Judgment Day, they're going to find out what it cost. It wasn't free. When you trivialize the murder of the innocent, Jesus said, you will pay for every action and every word. He said, you will pay for on Judgment Day.
Right.
So, Brian, we're about out of time. Thank you for mentioning the telethon. And then there's also the Colorado Right to Life annual banquet coming up on the 30th, just in 10 days on a Saturday. If you'd like to go to that, call us at 800-836-9278. It's only $50 a seat in the Denver Tech Center, Saturday night, 800-836-9278. Again, Brian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha.